Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
more to life.
So one thing that we sometimes forget is that all the details around what we share with you, our Refugio ministry, Hispanic ministry, meets every week in the fellowship hall, and that's their primary place from ministry. Sarah also has a ministry, two women's ministry that's beautiful and vibrant, and we love the way she comes alongside and expresses the faith for us in different language in the way in which we partner together. We're beginning a new series today I'm going to look in Luke chapter 5. And what we're going to see is an encounter between Jesus in the call of the disciples. The series is entitled Duke and Altum. If you visit the Holy Land and you visit a place called Magdala, the Magdala is the place where Mary Magdalene was from. It was back in 2007 when the Catholic Church was doing some excavations to be able to create a retreat center on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee that they actually discovered and unearthed the first century cobblestone streets of Magdala, which was a seaport. It was like it was a place where the fish were brought in and processed off the Sea of Galilee. And it was fully developed. And as you go there today, there's this large rotunda with a series of chapels, one of which looks over into the Sea of Galilee. And this entire area in the front is called Duke in Altum, put out into the deep. It is the Latin translation of the encounter between Jesus and Peter. And so what we're going to do in this series is we're going to move back through our general understandings of what it means when we committed our life to Christ and said, this is the body of Christ we're going to be committed to. And we're going to unpack the meaning of presence and what it means and prayer and service and gifts and witness and how that looks different today. Because I don't know about you, but have you noticed in the last 10 months, the landscape of the world has seemed to have changed. Now, as a pastor, when I read about these trends and things, and I hear responses of people, some folks say, I can't wait for the vaccine. We get an X number of people, and it's all coming back. We're coming. Well, there are some who will come back to church. But I think probably after 10 months, there's some folks that have found, you know, it's kind of nice worshiping, just sitting at home, and that's okay. That's okay. Right? I really, some Sunday morning, I want to do worship from my recliner for you. I want to flip the tables together, you know, just sit there and I got my heating pad on and my laptop and just zoom it in, right? So, didn't make it in today. Just wanted to see what it felt like to be a church member, so. But the reality is we're all over the map, right? In all different places. Some things have changed that can't come back. Some things have been modified temporarily. We're learning new insights. I mean, who would have thought that if last year in January, I stood here and told you the word Zoom is going to mean something totally different to you in 6 months, right? But we've all sort of got Zoom. And we got a whole genre around Zoomitis, right? I'm Zoomed out. I've got Zoomitis. I have Zoom fatigue. And yet, even amidst the challenges, as we've leaned into faith, we have found creative opportunities to say, okay, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do here? And this series seeks to draw us into this conversation with God that says, God, what do you want to do? And how do we unpack this and understand that though the ways we do things may be modified and changed, who we are has never changed. We are God's people, called by God in Christ, to bear witness to his truth in this world. So I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able. And we'll hear from the scripture from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And I'll be reading from the NIV translation. One day, Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. That's also, Lake of Gennesaret is the same thing as the Sea of Galilee. It's just a different reference by name. The people are crowding all around him and listening to the word of God. You got your Bible at home, whatnot? Put a little mark on that. They were listening to what Jesus was proclaiming, the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch." Now, what's in parentheses, we are all going to speak together. All right? Simon answered, just like you and I do sometimes when Jesus says, "Put out into the deep." What'd he say? "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and as you are, let us pray together. God, grant us in this moment the courage to let you get in the boat with us. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to engage, that we might love you with all that we are. And may your spirit stand between me and your people so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together would be shaped, formed, and molded into the good news of the gospel of Christ, in whose name we've gathered, in whose name we pray, and in whose name we will depart this place. And when we conclude this worship, by participating wherever we are, we will choose to serve and follow faithfully. And all of God's people did say, amen. One of the things that's really kind of nice about having the ability to connect with folks through Facebook is FaceTime and your iPhone and your Zoom. I don't know about you, but whenever my mother calls to FaceTime me, all I see of my mother is this much. My mother has still not figured out that she needs to hold the phone where it can see her as much as she wants to see. And so what she'll do is she'll move the phone as if moving the phone will help her see more of my room. Or, "Mom, it doesn't work that way." Sometimes when we're connected together and we're trying to have some kind of Zoom meeting, someone will be missing. Have you ever had this? You're trying to connect and whatnot, and you're in your Zoom meeting, and literally there's this little shadow box that comes up, and what does it say if it's kind of and freezing on you? It says, "Your internet connection is what? Unstable." Have you ever gotten, is it just me? Okay, all right. I was worried. I thought maybe I had some bad Zoom karma or something. There's some things that are unstable in our connection with God. And so maybe we want to go to the very beginning of the story, that as Jesus has come out of the wilderness, he's been to Nazareth, and in Luke's account, he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. Throngs of people are gathering around him. So who Jesus is already known to the world. That's the first thing to get out of this text. Who Jesus is already known to the world. You see that manifested in two ways. First, crowds were gathering all around him. Who he was known. And secondly, he didn't have to introduce himself to Peter. He just got in his boat. And they put out a little bit from shore, and the teaching began. Now, we've come out of this season of Advent and Christmas when it's real clear. Emmanuel, it means what? God with us. And we know that well. But in our prayerful discernment as your pastoral and worshiping staff, what we've realized is We need to work together to understand what does it mean, not just to say that you have a vow of membership that says you'll support the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, as if it's just sort of a mantra that flows off, but to say, what if that vow of membership could be taken into the deeper waters of discipleship? And what does presence, what does it mean to be present with God? What does it mean for us today when what we're being asked to do has been so contrary to our human nature and the way and purpose for which we were created? We were not created to be put apart and separated. We were created to be in community together. So how do we be present? So one of the terrible gifts of the pandemic is it took away from us this very easy thing where we thought, oh, I know, to be present just means I go to church. And that's a beautiful thing when people come to church. The hearts of pastors all across the world are broken as people are unable to physically be at church. But if our being present with God is limited to our ability to be physically present in a pew, then we have missed the purpose of who we are. But what does that mean to be present? Well, it means to be fully present with God. So the teaching concludes. Can you capture it in your mind? The seashore, filled with people. And by the way, I took that picture. Just want you to know, I took that picture on the Sea of Galilee in the boat. The seashore is filled with people. Jesus has finished his teaching. He's been sharing the Word of God as the one who is the Word of God. And then he turns to Peter. And he says to Peter, Peter, put out in the deep. Put out in the deep. His first conversational moment with one he would call. Now, he just got in the boat in the verse earlier, and they just went out. But the first conversational moment that Jesus personally engages Peter to say, put out into the deep. And in my translation of Scripture, Peter's response is, come on, Jesus, been there and done that. We have been out, what, all night long fishing. There's nothing there. You see, that's our human response. This is the challenge of these moments for you and me. That as God is calling us to be fully present with him, so often we say, I've been there. I've tried that. It just doesn't work. And Jesus says to him, Peter, put out into the deep. Peter gives an excuse. But Peter doesn't just give an excuse. I don't know if he's worn out and he's tired. I don't know if maybe he's heard the stories of who this Jesus is and what he has done. But Peter puts his hope in the words of Christ, and you and I should as well, as he says confessionally, but because you say so, I will go. He goes out in the deep, they drop the nets, and the catch is so great that others have to come alongside to help draw up the fish that are in the nets. Do you see the difference? Peter had been fishing all night, going through the motions, trying to get it done, and he comes up empty. But when Jesus gets in the boat with him and tells him to go out into deeper waters, what happens? It changes. I want to suggest to you that we can not only be fully present with God individually, in the reading of Scripture, in the prayer, in finding ways to stay connected, but we can still be fully present with God in the world, but we're gonna have to be creative and intentional and move out of our comfort zones and break away the old habits and patterns, because the church was never created as a place for you to come and to practice your faith. The church was created, the ecclesia, the gathered people of God by Christ, formed at the Pentecost of the resurrection, is formed for the equipping, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, for the work of the saints to move out into the world. And while we have deeply embraced and enjoyed and loved the work transformatively that God does in this place, His work in the world is not contained by the walls of any building, but goes wherever the hearts of His people lead Him. So how do we be fully present with God and be fully present with God in the world? Well, we're going to have to get a little creative. And there's a theme that I want you to think about, because I'm going to share with you in a few moments the story of our closing hymn of faith. And remember this line, that the greatest hymns of the faith that we sing today were authored and birthed in some of the most difficult, broken, and hurting times. There's something about the human nature and journey that when things begin falling apart and we've tried everything else, that we fall on our knees and we go to God, that the one who created us, sustains us with His Holy Spirit, reveals to us His path and His way.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Our associate pastor, Stacy Sweet, is a part-time local pastor appointed by the bishop, and she did clinical pastoral education at Herman Memorial Northeast as she's working on her degree from Asbury Theological Seminary. So clinical pastoral education basically is not quite what it sounds like. You think, oh, I'm going to be employed by a hospital setting to go be a chaplain. And you are there to be with people, but basically they hold up a mirror and you figure out why you're there and why you help. It's gut-wrenching emotional stuff because you have to deal with a lot of your own baggage and your own stuff, and it's really healthy, beautiful work. The work I did at CPE at UNC Memorial Hospital still is formative for me today. And when Stacy completed that work, they said to her, hey, is there any chance you might be willing to be an on-call chaplain for us occasionally when our chaplains need to take time off or be off on the weekends? And she said, sure. We talked together, talked and processed as a team of clergy together. How would this work? And so Stacy's been doing that. The beautiful thing is this, that's the only hospital that a pastoral visit from KUMC can be made, not because we're pastors, but because she's the chaplain at the hospital. So if you want a pastoral visit inside the walls, you're going to have to go to Memorial Herman Northeast. We just can't get in anywhere else. So Stacy, for the last several months, has been sharing with us snippets of what staff has been going through. I know some of that remotely from my wife's connection with home health physical therapy and home health hospice care and the challenges. Matt's wife, Rhonda, and Matt's exposure to what's happening with nurses and caregivers and doctors through the Methodist hospital system. We've all sort of known it, but it sort of crystallized this week as Stacy shared that when she was walking into the hospital, God just clearly revealed to her to turn and look, and there's a parking lot of people that are there that are sitting in their cars. And they're sitting in their cars because of the abundance of caution, and appropriately so from the medical community, you can't go in to be with your loved one in the hospital. Deneen's mother was taken to the hospital this week by ambulance. Deneen had to sit in the parking. Everybody did too, right? But this difficulty of not being able to be present, to go in, to have to wait. Now, she was able to go in and make a brief visit after a period of time, but that's not the way it used to be. I share all that to share you this. Stacy always gets to go into the hospital, right? Every time she's been, she walks through the same parking lot. She can walk through. She can walk into the hospital. She keeps heading in. But for whatever reason, well, it is a divine reason, God put on her heart to pause that day, and she looked. And what God poured into her heart was, who is present in the parking lot with the loved ones waiting to see the person in the hospital? And here's what I love about every member of our church staff, clergy, lay, everybody. We have this beautiful way of just encouraging each other that when you feel God putting something on your heart, you ought to go where the Spirit leads. And instead of just heading into the hospital, she paused and turned. She walked up to a car. Someone sitting in. Hey, how are you? The person began to share. And then Stacy said this. Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Now, is that going to absolutely change the entire world? No. But for the world of that person sitting in a car who's waiting to cut the call back from the ICU nurse to find out if their loved one is making progress or is not making progress, for all of that, that's amazing. On Monday afternoon, Kingwood Hospital will call us when there is someone who is near death or transition. And it's been very rare. The second time in 10 months came Monday. And I had the privilege of being the one who was invited to come into the hospital, mask up, and was with a young man who was unable to respond, who had cerebral palsy, who was on a FaceTime call with his mother and his brother who were out of state. That's the only connection that they had. And as I walked in, Megan, the nurse, said, "We're so glad you're here." There was a desperation in her voice. And I stood behind the young man in view with my mask on, and his family was there, and prayed together. And it was as if God said, "Bert, I just want you to get an exclamation point and see the contrast." It helped me realize there are many creative ways that we can be God's presence in the world, but we're going to have to be passionate in pursuing and be willing to go into the deep waters, because our comfortable patterns of doing things are there no more. And haven't been for a while. So here's what I want to challenge you as a community of faith. When you look at what is before you, and you look at what it means to be present with God, what are some creative ways that we could turn the challenge into a group think? I want you to pray on this. I want you to ponder on this. And I want you to tell us, what is God revealing to you? What are some creative ways? Do we gather and maybe connect with facilities where people cannot go in and write notes to persons on the inside? Do we think about, hey, is there a place where we need to go be a parking lot presence? Maybe me telling you that you could go to a parking lot, get out of your car, and pray for somebody has told you, you are in the wrong church today. That would never be you. Okay, I get that. I understand entirely. The idea of getting out of your car in a parking lot during a pandemic to pray with someone you never met, wondering how they'll respond to the tap on the window, I get it. For me as an extrovert, that's fun. I mean, I used to get on elevators, and when people got on, I'd turn around and say, "Hey, I bet you're wondering why we called this meeting." Some people get on the elevator and they look down. They're just waiting for the floor. But could you be fully present? Maybe you never get out of your car. Maybe you drive to a parking lot at a hospital or a care facility. Maybe you never get out of your car, but you pray for every person that you see. You be fully present with God in the world. See what God reveals to you. Now, that's just a sliver of example. I have a belief that what God is revealing to this community of faith is so much greater than what we as a staff see. In some ways, as a staff, we're going to have to get out of the way and listen. But we need to hear from you. We need to hear what are those ways. And we've got to be creative and celebrate what God wants to do. We've got to be willing to put out into the deep and not say, we've already tried it, it won't work. But to be willing to say, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. Did this already, but because you say, I will go. I will go out into the deep. Where are the deep waters for you? Where's that place that God is stretching you, inviting you to step beyond your comfort zone? Where is that place in our world of broken division? It's time that we all turn off the media and look for our neighbor and start creating the world we want it to be in whatever creative ways we can, rather than being consumed by the narratives and those who would only seek to create violence and brokenness in our world. How can you be fully present with God in your personal walk? How can you be fully present with God in the world? Let me give you a scripture to hang your hat on. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this: Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur or urge one another on towards love and good deeds. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it's going to have to be you seeing differently the world that's around you. So over 200 years ago, Cecile Frances Humphreys was born into a very comfortable existence. A very wealthy family, a very prim and proper family, but she loved to write poetry, and she was afraid as a very young child as she began to write and approaching her teenage years that she would be in trouble if her father ever found out that she loved poetry and writing in hymn form what she understood the scriptures were saying. She hid her poetry under a carpeted rug, and one day it was discovered. When her father discovered and read what she wrote, there was a point in time her father could have said and scolded her and said, this is ridiculous, this is not what we do. He didn't. He read it, he was inspired, and he told her this: I want you to keep writing, and not only do I want you to keep writing and keep reading, you're going to begin teaching Sunday school at the church, and each Sunday night, you're going to lead the family in reading one of the things you have written about the faith. And in 1852, as Ireland tries to come out of the pandemic, and Cecile has been nurtured in her faith and has married an Anglican clergyman, they're discussing the call of the disciples around the dinner table as the preacher's getting ready for the sermon the next day. Now, it may surprise you that not all of our sermons are written on Monday mornings. Sometimes they call them Saturday night specials. Most of us work on them all week long. Me personally, I just simply can't do anything Saturday night. I have to go back through the text. I have to live with the text. It's the last night. I've tried. I can't do a Tuesday in 9 months out. I've got to live with the text. I've got to read it and read it and read it and read it. And so they're going over the text after dinner as they talked about the call of the disciples in Matthew chapter 4. The closing hymn that we're going to sing today, entitled Jesus Calls Us, flowed freely. She sat down after dinner and penned the words that you are going to sing in 1852. That happened for this reason: a father who nurtured God speaking to her heart, the journey with a partner or husband in ministry who cultivated her gift. And not only were those verses written, one of the wisest men was her husband, William, because after he preached his sermon the next day, at the end of it, he said, I'd like to read to you something that my wife has written. And those words that she penned that we will sing were written. I say all that to you to say this: what hymn do we need to write today? What are the things that God may be stirring that we're hiding under carpeted rugs that we're just waiting to say, What, Jan, is God saying in your heart? What God, Matt, has put in your heart? What has God put in your heart? We want to hear from you. And we want to hear the songs you will write about the faith. One of two choices, my friends. It all boils down to this. When Jesus calls us, we can simply say, been there, done that. There's just nothing left. Or we can proclaim together what you've already said. Master, we've toiled all night and we have caught absolutely nothing. We've been there, we've done that, we've worn masks, we've opened, we've closed, we've tried, we've stopped. But because you say, we'll go out to the deep. Will you? Will you go where Christ leads? Or you live by excuses as to why you don't want to go where Christ is leading? Let's pray together. God, I know my own journey as I have thought about this passage. I think of the many ways in which just the way church is. For 36 years of my life, we've done things in such predictable patterns and ways, and we knew that if we did X plus Y, we would move towards something, but that's all been changed. And you've helped reveal to me the way in which my faith in Christ from the waters of my baptism needs to become very personal. So God, in this season, would you help us embrace the personal aspect of our faith and our walk with you? Would you help us remember that in this text, we see that Jesus gets in the boat with Peter. That's a very personal conversation that he has. Would you help us see the hope that when, like Peter, we simply confess to you and tell you where we are and be fully honest and follow, God, amazing things can happen. So God, thank you for the team that's at this church that is staff and clergy and program. Thank you for the group of people in this community of faith that through society and Feed My Lambs and so many other ways have relentlessly pursued the faith and lived faithfully. Now, God, would you reveal to us where you're calling? Where you're calling us to put out into deep waters and to trust. For this we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people did say, Amen.